everybody, and welcome to the Life in the Wood podcast. I'm Tiffany Spaulding, and I'm here today with my good friend Georgia, and we are talking about rule number 8.
Tell the truth, or at least don't lie.
This is a big one, everybody. And I just wanted to, start out with a little story today, because Georgia came into town from Seattle to visit me over this Labor Day weekend, hang out in the sun. And my mother was here, and we were talking about this rule. This is before Georgia read the rule, studied the rule, made it her own.
Yes.
And we were talking about white lies. And I had already read the chapter, the rule, so I had a different perspective. But it was interesting because both my mom and Georgia said, yes, white lies are okay. Yes, I do that. And yes, I would do that.
And harmless.
Harmless, right.
Lies.
Yes. So I was, you know, sort of grilling them as I do. And then Georgia read the chapter. And the next day we had a similar conversation. And she said,
I had a very different perspective about white lies, what they look like, and what they can mean. So one of the things that I really, really appreciated reading was Jordan Peterson talked about how he started to practice telling the truth, at least not lying, that is a skill, that is a practiced skill. And then he went on to say, if you don't know what to do, tell the truth. And that was a lot, but it kept me reading. And it kept me trying to understand what it was that he was trying to say. And so then I started to think about, why do we lie? And he covers all of that in the book. Why do we lie?
Right. But let's talk about what's the standouts for the book.
Sure.
Before we start talking about why. We all kind of know why, right?
Yeah. I just got so carried away.
I know, but that's the thing, right? All of these, this whole book is like that. It's so engrossing. Okay, so there are some standouts for everybody as you're reading Jordan Peterson. I know some of you are following along so that you don't have to read it. Mm-hmm. You can just get the gist of it. So in terms of how what stands out, I think for me, he said there's two ways to be. Take the easy way or tell the truth. That's it. Those are the only two ways of being. And those are not merely two different choices. They are two different pathways through life. And I guess one of the things with when you're reading this is like some of that stuff is scary, right? Like it's not a choice of telling white lies and telling the truth. You are either lying or you are in fact telling the truth. And so that kind of jumped out for me as, I don't know, it's kind of a gut punch.
Me too, because something that seemed harmless and gave it no thought now became life choices and how you wanted to live your life and who you wanted to be.
Right. Yes.
It's a lot more than I thought when I tell those little white lies.
Yes. Well, and it's interesting because one of the other things that he brought up is that when you lie, and that can be a lie of omission as well. He talks about a woman who was at work and allowed her supervisor to almost be a tyrant over these new rules that he was putting in place. And she knew it was wrong. It wasn't good for the workplace, but she didn't say anything about it because she thought, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Whatever. It'll be fine. I'll just go along with it. And then there was the next one and the next one. And, you know, Jordan Peterson says she became a slave by not standing up, by not telling the truth. A lie of omission is just as bad as a lie of commission, which was also a little bit of a gut punch.
No.
Right? Right?
I know.
What about you, G? What stood out really for you in that?
In what you...
What were the big things for you?
The big things were that it's a choice. Now, once you start to look at it as a choice and how it impacts who you are, it's a different thought process. It also made me think about something he also touched on later in the book, how easy it is to lie when maybe in fact you're lying to yourself. Like, how truthful are you about your life?
About
the things going on in your life. So if you're able to accept a lie easily about yourself, it's very easy to lie to someone else.
Right.
I mean, that's like one of the reasons. But the other things he talks about is manipulation, flattery. I mean, there's motives.
Right. That's why. That's why we lie, right? We have some huge motives about what we want when we lie. I think the thing that you kind of touched on was we don't think about it in the moment that we're doing it, about how it is for us, like those white lies. We tell them to make our lives easier. And I'm going to tell a little story here that I'm a little bit embarrassed about. We're going to come back to it, I think, again later about white lies. So you may be thinking white lies are not a big deal. You have to read this chapter. White lies, little lies, small lies turn into big lies and can have these big consequences. So, my mother-in-law called me the other day. She lives in Florida because Park, my husband, is out roaming around in the woods. He has this thing called a spot locator that is satellite operated, and he will send me a spot that's just when he can't make a phone call that says, I'm okay, here's my location. And she called me and said, I haven't heard from Park in a couple days. I'm so worried, blah, blah, blah. Have you heard from him? And I said, no, but I'm sure he'll send me a spot this afternoon. I'll let you know when he does. I'm sure he's fine, right? Those of you who know Park, lots of you do. He's an outdoorsman to the nth degree. He can survive almost anything. He's more worried about his dog out there than he is about himself. Okay, so we get home, and a couple of hours later, I still hadn't heard from Park. Well, she lives on the East Coast. She's 3 hours ahead. And I thought, shoot, I do not want her to stay up worrying all night. I'm just going to call her. I'm sure Park is fine. He's always fine. I'm just going to call her so that she can go to bed without worrying, right?
Harmless,
right? I'm trying to do something nice for her. I don't want her to worry. There's no cause to worry. So I called her. She was like, oh, thank you so much for letting me know, blah, blah, blah. Now I can go to sleep. Harmless, right? All right. Good night, Shirley. So then we started really talking about this. And I thought to myself, that was a big mistake. It truly was. Because we're all thinking, then I got a spot from Park. I don't know, 2 hours later. He was fine. Okay. So then, and then he called me. And then I had to say to him, hey, I lied to your mom about this. So if she brings it up, this is stupid. It's a harmless lie. And now I have sucked my husband in to saying, yes, I did send her a spot. Yes, everything was fine, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I was in Montana, wherever I told her he was. So now I've sucked him into this stupid, pointless lie. Okay. So as that snowballs, we all know you've been sitting around the dinner table and something from your past comes up. And this stupid lie gets exposed at the dinner table when his mom is visiting or he's visiting her. And that makes her think Tiffany's a liar. She lied to me about that. Now I can't trust her anymore. So that's one thing, right?
And look at all the work.
All the work.
All the thought.
Right.
All the creation, manipulation.
Right. Sucking other people in. So that's one thing. And you can see where that little lie could turn into something where now Shirley doesn't trust me anymore. But here's the bigger problem when you lie. In this case, if I lied, Park is fine. And then he wasn't, because I didn't know, right? And something happened to him. He was injured. He was dead. God forbid. Whatever. Now I would have to go to his mother and say, hey,
I'm sorry I lied.
You know, Park is injured, whatever. So it was interesting because reading this really made me think about that stupid little white lie and how now Park is also a liar. Or could, if when he talks to his mom, he's going to have to say, yes, I did that, when he didn't. And it could all snowball out later. So Shirley, if you're watching, I apologize for the lie, but it was a perfect opportunity to share this little story about why.
How it could go wrong.
How it can go wrong. And we never think that that's going to happen. And then
so that's what it does. Some of the stuff that he talks about is being more mindful of what it is that you're doing.
That it's not being more mindful, being mindful.
Mm-hmm. That's right, being mindful. And so when you're, that's why I really liked what he said, developing a practice means that every time you're about to lie, think about it.
Right, think about it.
What it means. And he also talks about if you're going to tell the truth, there's ways to tell the truth in a respectful manner so that the person, because that's the other thing we talk about, is people get very hurt when they hear the truth.
Right, right, yes.
And so he touches a lot of ways. It's not as simple as you wake up one morning and now I'm just going to start telling the truth.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
It's not.
A lot of things I wish I could do like that.
I know. Lots of things. Stop eating chocolate, potato chips, all that stuff.
But no.
Okay, one of the other things that really jumped out for me was this statement, and I didn't write down the whole thing, so I'm going to go back here. I'm going to actually put my glasses on because I thought this was hugely, if you take nothing else away from this, take this. All people serve their ambition. In that manner, there are no atheists. There are only people who know and don't know what God they serve. So there's, of course, the Christian God. There's the gods of religion. But ambition can be a god. Success can be a god. Money, power, whatever it is. But knowing the truth and telling the truth, what you touched on, to yourself, about yourself, what God do you serve, knowing it, acknowledging it, and then making sure that is the God you want to serve. So until you start examining yourself, telling the truth to yourself, you can't know that, right?
No.
You gotta.
And you can't know unless you know who you want to be, who you want to create, and how you want to conduct your life and how you want to show up to people. You won't be able to be, you'll just be, I don't want to say reckless about lies, but they'll come easier.
They'll come easier. Right.
And he uses a great example of how he tells a neighbor something that's very bothersome to him. And it could be volatile and have some reaction. But he says, when you tell the truth, I can't remember, stick to the facts. Remove judgment. Remove superiority. Because sometimes when we want to tell someone something, we want to tell them because we are better.
Right.
If you stick to the facts, and in this particular case, this very difficult truth was received.
Right. And he was afraid.
He was very afraid.
Physically afraid that this guy might physically do harm to him in this process. But because he was just the facts and not attacking this person on a, I don't know, more personal level, I guess it worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out.
So it can be done. But again, it's a practice.
It's a practice. Right. Or you have to build a practice to get it done, right?
Exactly.
Like anything, like yoga. You just keep working on it.
And you're not going to be good at it the first day.
No.
Maybe not even the 10th.
No. No. Okay. So any other big standouts for you, Georgia?
What else? Why we lie.
Let's talk about why we lie. Okay.
Yeah,
let's.
Why?
Why do you think that is?
Oh, I know why. I engage.
See how hard it is?
Say I lie?
Oh, I'll tell you another. When we were talking about this yesterday, I said, we're all liars. And she said,
You
can't say that, Tiffany. People won't like that. They won't want to hear that.
I just tell lies. Like, I'll tell a white lie. And it's making me physically uncomfortable to even say it.
Right, I know. Right, which is another thing that he talks about, like, you get this pain. But we are all liars, right? And I equated it to the Christian Bible. We're all sinners, right? Like, and I'm not, like, if you're not Christian, that's okay. That's just part of the Bible. Like, I'm not trying to.
We all indulge in a white
lie. We all lie. We're all liars. And if you can't say that.
Right. Then you can't stop it.
Then you can't stop it. You cannot take that next step. So I guess hopefully a year or so from now, we'll do a recap on something, and hopefully we'll be able to say, we used to be liars.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, here's what I know. Well, we can talk about why we lie. Let's talk about why we lie.
What? Okay, so.
There's pages, there's page 225, 209 and 217. Of the book will outline why we lie. There's tons of reasons.
There's tons of reasons we lie.
Manipulation, superiority, motivation. We want something. We want someone to feel better. We want to make ourselves feel better. It's endless.
We don't want to suffer if we tell the truth, what that person may or may not.
Right.
What their response may or may not be to the truth. When you lie, you can, win an argument, gain status, impress people. Mm-hmm. When you tell the truth, all that stuff may go away.
Right.
Right.
There's a part where it says, why not twist and distort things to obtain a small or smooth or to a small gain or smooth things over or keep the peace or avoid hurt feelings? I think that's a big reason why many of us just.
Why we do. And then, much like me telling Shirley, Park is fine.
More
it
lies.
Turns into some right. It turn has the potential to turn in to something significantly bigger than that.
Think about audience, if that's what we call our viewers. Think about a lie that you may have indulged in. And
today, what did you lie about today?
Yeah, or right, simple, harmless. Or even something that may had been harmless and then became something bigger.
Became, and we've all done that. There's oh, what a tangled web we weave, right? When first we practice. Yeah, so how did that work out for you? And then think about a lie you told today. And what do you need to reconcile that right away so that it doesn't turn into something else?
Could you have done it differently?
Could you have lied differently?
No, tell the truth.
Yeah, you could have told the truth instead of lied.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but mostly it comes from those human emotions, right? Fear. We don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want anybody to hurt us, whatever. But he did say another thing that I don't know. I know we talked about it. I don't know if you mentioned it earlier. All our conversations are running together about when I don't know what to do.
Yeah, when you don't know what to do.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth. Which goes aligned with a principle of when you don't know what to do, you do the right thing.
You do the right thing. Right. Do the right thing. Ugh, it's scary. It's very scary. Okay, let's talk about how we're going to apply this rule. How are you going to actually put these things into action?
Well, you know, it's funny. Because of the change within 24 hours...
I want to talk about one other thing before we move on.
Yeah.
About, we called it the Frappuccino Club yesterday.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, good.
So one of the problems, one of the reasons we lie is because we're afraid if we tell the truth, we will be expelled from our peer group, right? So this is kind of a silly example, but we were talking about everybody goes out for Starbucks at work. And you go and you have now set this new sort of course in your life where money is a priority for you. You're going to stop wasting money. You're going to really focus. And so you go out to lunch or out to Starbucks with what we're calling the Frappuccino group. And everybody gets their $5, $7, $9 coffee and you don't get anything. You're just there for the social. Because you've decided to take every $7 that you spend every day and put it into your 401k. So you go with everybody and they say, why aren't you having that? Why aren't you doing this with us? This is what we're doing. And you say, I have this new goal to save money. So I enjoy the social, but I'm not going to spend my money at Starbucks. I'm going to put it in my 401k.
Versus if I could just, the lie would have been, oh, I don't feel like having a Starbucks today.
Right, right. You could, yes, you could, yeah, you could lie about it or whatever. So you're in this group of people and now you're alienated from them if you tell that truth. They're like, you're not one of us anymore. Those people, given the truth, some of them are going to feel like, oh, I should be doing that too, but I'm not going to. And then there's this little bit of resentment and all these weird things that happen within this group, right? But you could lie about it. Yeah. You could lie. And then you would still fit in with the group. So,
but then how long are you going to lie?
How long are you going to lie? What is that going to...
The third time you go this way, you've told them the truth. I'm not going to participate because I have another plan.
I have different goals. Mm-hmm. I have different goals. You don't have to tell them they're stupid for wasting their $7.
Right. But that's what they hear.
Right. So when you tell the truth, even people, you risk that those people are going to perceive you as thinking you're, in this case, better, smarter, whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's a risk of some alienation within your peer group. I have a family member who's going through some stuff right now. And the peer group that she's involved in, they expect for her to do certain things and behave in a certain way that are counter to everything else that she was raised in. But if she tells the truth to them, she's going to lose them. So it's an interesting, like, it's a big problem with truth, is that peer group part of, and I think it makes it hard, I don't know, I think the saying is go along to get along, right?
No, but I think he even says it's a risk.
It's a risk.
Telling the truth can be a risk.
Yeah, it is
a
risk.
You want to do that.
And then as we were talking about the Frappuccino group yesterday, there may be somebody else in that group that... when you told the truth, you've alienated these people, but there's someone else in the group that says, hey, that is a good idea. And so now this person who thought it was a good idea, that's a new group for you, right? A group with like-minded goals and aspirations. And when you want to achieve things, surrounding yourself with people who are going to support you and have similar goals and aspirations and can handle the truth,
well, the truth opened the door.
The truth opened the door. It opened the door. So her truth, the first girl's truth, made this other girl's, or girl, whoever, someone in the Frappuccino Club, made their life better. So you, there's all these side effects to telling the truth, bad consequences and good things that can come from it. But you have to be true
to yourself. That's why you start. Yeah, that's what really impacted me. It's the
tell yourself the truth.
Right. How it improves my life and how being truthful to myself.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. Right. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. Okay. So how? How are you going to?
I was convinced. After 24 hours, I thought, you know what? I have a very different perspective on white, little harmless white lies. And so I'm going to do a 30-day journal. I'm going to... do every night, take a look at what was it that I wanted to lie about. I hope I'm not. But just take a look, take an inventory every day and see how harmless, why. And hopefully by 30 days, they say 21 days changes your behavior, but I'll do 30 days and see what's changed.
Your patterns, you've improved.
And in me, because there is a value. But yes, how my patterns have changed.
How your patterns have changed. And Jordan Peterson actually says that when he started noticing this and we started thinking about it, he did an exercise, which is he divided himself in two. One half of him was speaking and the other half was listening. And his goal was to listen when he spoke to other people and identify when he was lying. And he found out that he was not telling the truth most of the time. So, when, again, with the white white lies, you think, oh, it's not that big a deal. And then you start adding them up, right? If you just carried a pen around and hash marked on your hand every time you told a little white lie to the clerk at the grocery store, your kids or the mailman or whoever, your neighbor, you might find out it's a little bit scary, which is what he did. And he decided, this is not a good thing. I need to kind of clean up my act. So that's one way, another exercise. Journaling, as we know, is great. And I think last week, Eileen mentioned about journaling and that writing a lie is significantly harder than thinking it, right, yeah, for yourself. Mm-hmm. And someone else might see it. Someone else might see it. So
maybe you'll invite me back in 30 days.
Right. We'll see. Come on
see
down,
how
Georgia.
My efforts with.
Yes. Yes. And then another thing he talked about in the book was, you know, character, lies build character, right? Or lack, not telling lies. Telling lies tears down your character. Not lying builds up your character. And he kind of equated that to if your character is this big, heavy stone, and you tie yourself to it and you throw your character forward and then you have to get to it, right? You have to continue to build your strength of character to get to that big stone. And then once you get there again, you throw the stone forward and move forward, building character to the point that that stone is your character. You've developed that massive, strong character, and it's no longer a heavy stone to throw. And I thought that was a good, like, visual of, yeah, it's hard. It's hard work.
The boulder is a great visual because it's a boulder. But I got the same thing. It was actually on page 225, and it said, if you tell the truth, your values transform as you progress. So it does change who you are.
It does change. And then there's a couple of other ways to apply this. And I'm going to talk about a peer group thing at the end again. Wrap up with the story. That's going to be my new thing, I think. Okay. Examine your goals. Are you lying to achieve them? If so, and when I say lying to achieve your goals, are you lying to others and are you lying to yourself? And one of the things that he mentions is if you're lying to achieve those goals, you're going to be blinded to a new and better goal. If you get single-mindedly focused and you're not open and truthful, you're going to miss. A lot of times we set goals that aren't really where we need to be or want to be. And in the process of getting there, we realize, as you say, you transform, right? Your values change. The God you serve may change. And, you may have an opportunity or an awakening that this is I need to go a different direction with this. In business, we call it pivot. Mm-hmm. You may need to pivot on your goals, whether that's personal, professional, whatever it is. So if you need to examine your goals, and you know, we made a goal journal early on in this broadcast, and it's a big part of moving forward and doing right things. Matter of fact, if you did make the goal journal, you may add this right to your goal journal. Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. Anything else from
me?
Yeah.
Yeah, this
how
was a
to.
Great experience. And so I am.
Any more how to's though? Like any more ideas about?
Oh, any more how to's?
Are you just thinking, I'm going to suffer through that 30 day journal?
No, you know what? I try to be mindful. And so I will continue to, before I say something, maybe take 30 seconds to consider it. Because again,
you know what? That's an important part right there, just that alone. Because a lot of times a pause, it can be 2 seconds.
Right.
Right.
Rather than
if you just
jumping into the response.
Right, learn to pause before you respond. And that gets into another rule about using precise language, which is, I think, number 10 or 11. That gives your brain a chance to kick in and do its job, right? To be like, oh, pausing, we're thinking. And then the machinery that's in there can snap into work, which also, which we were just talking about, this... placing yourself in new situations. There's research quoted in the book that makes your brain grow, right? So, you know, taking those risks and those challenges, part of how to apply this rule, putting yourself in a situation where normally you would lie, you're going to learn something new, your brain is going to grow, and then all that stuff.
Well, you know, he even talks about that. Things grow in the light.
Things grow in the light.
Deceit,
right?
Lives in the darkness.
Right, right.
So, yes, absolutely. Yes. You will grow.
Right, perfect. Okay, last thing I want to talk about is the cauldron joke. I didn't write down what page it was on, so now you're going to have to read the book.
Oh.
But it's an old joke. Most people have heard it in one form or another. But as a new guy enters hell and the devil is touring him around and he's seeing cauldrons of different people, you know, boiling in oil, and they're trying to pop up and get out, and there's small devils on the edge of the cauldrons pushing them back in, and they get to, and this particular joke is written around countries and soldiers. It's old, but they get to the last cauldron, and as the people are climbing out of the cauldron, something inside the cauldron pulls them back down into the cauldron. And he says to the devil, why isn't there anybody there, any devil on that cauldron to help push those people back in? And he says, we don't need anybody there. In this case, that's the Russians. They pull each other back down into the oil. But that could just as well have, that could be your peer group. Who are you surrounding yourself with when you try to do better, when you try to move up? Is your peer group, the people you're around, are they pulling you back in, or are they trying to shove you out of that cauldron of bad stuff? So yeah, it's a good joke. It's old. It's from, I think, the Second World War or something. So that's why it's,
but still meaningful.
Meaningful. The idea of it, who, there are people who try to crawl out and the world is trying to push them back in. And then there's, are you surrounded by people who are trying to push you back in?
Right.
Yeah. Georgia, anything in closing that you would like to?
Well, yeah, there would be. It's the last paragraph. It's okay. The last paragraph of the book that just tied it all together, because there were a lot of reasons and examples and arguments as to why telling the truth works. But the last one, the last paragraph says, if your life is not what it could be, try telling the truth. It continues to say, if you desperately cling to an ideology or wallow in nihilism, try telling the truth. If you feel weak and rejected and desperate and confused, try telling the truth. In paradise, everyone tells the truth. That's what makes it paradise.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is. And that really sums it up, right? If things aren't going the way you want them, try telling the truth to yourself and to the world outside. So, all right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in today to the Life in the Wick podcast, where my good friend Georgia and I are talking about rule number 8.
Oh, I should have memorized it. Tell the truth, or at least
don't lie.
But
I think it's easier to tell the truth than it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost a lie of omission if you just don't say anything, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. All right, G.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. Yeah, I'm so glad
you're
in town for the weekend.
What a great experience. And I learned something.
Forcefully. Okay, remember this. We are all liars. Oh! Do you want to lie less or not at all? This is your opportunity to look at your life, look at how you're running things, take control. Get your journal out.
And do better.
And do better. Just do better. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.